count two or three out there. So we're going to believe the Lord. Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 46. I already did it. Psalms chapter 46. You know, the epidemic or the pandemic, whatever they want to call it, has got such a headline now that everybody's focused on it, but all of us, I'm sure, has other situations or circumstances going on in our lives that is dragging us down and trying to tear us apart and trying to suppress us from doing what God's called us to do. And, you know, I believe this virus has got such a pandemic going on because nobody was prepared for it. The medical field wasn't prepared for it. The general public wasn't prepared for it. There's nobody really prepared for this but God. God was prepared for it. He is prepared for it. And we've got to trust God through this situation. I know sometimes it's hard, but the Bible teaches us that we got to trust God through all things. Whether we can see it or don't see it, we know God's God. And God can be God in us if we will allow him to be. That's why I say my favorite saying is, let God be God in you. Because God is God, but he can only be God in you if you allow him to be God in you. So Psalms chapter number 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in asunder. He burned the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Father, I thank you today, Lord, for your blessings. I thank you for the ones that made an effort to come into your house this morning. God, I just ask, Lord, that you'll bless each one. Lord, anoint us, our hearts, our minds, God, to open up and to receive from you your virtue and your touch, Lord. Lord, anoint our lips of clay to bring forth this word the way you'd have it brought forth, Lord. Don't let us say nothing more, nothing less. But, Father, be according to thy will and thy mercy. And, Lord, we give you the honor and praise for it in Jesus' precious name. And everybody says, amen. We do realize that today there's so much going on in the world today, not just in the United States. This is not a country thing. This is a world thing. All over the world, everybody's facing the same kind of epidemic and stuff. The only thing that really gives America a great advantage over most of the other countries is that we believe in God. It's not an Allah situation. It's not a Buddha situation. It's not a Muhammad. It's not a Mother Earth situation. It's a we believe in God. And God is our refuge and our help. And he made us some promises there and things that I want to talk about for just a little while this morning that Psalms chapter number 46 tells us about. And that, first and foremost, he tells us in verse number 1 that God is our refuge and our strength. A very present in the time, help in time of trouble. And so God's promising us that he's right here in the midst of it. We're not battling this situation. We're not going through this situation all by ourselves. God is going with us. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He'd go all the way to the end of the world with us. So we realize today that God is our present help and He's a refuge. You know, a refuge is something whenever it's pouring down rain, you open the door and you run inside the church or your house or you get in your car, and that's a refuge from the rain because you've got in somewhere that it can't get to you. And if we get deep enough and close enough to God, we can get into a place that it doesn't matter what this virus does. It doesn't matter what the economy's doing. It doesn't matter whether the churches have church or not. It doesn't matter what's going on all around the globe. What matters is my relationship with Jesus Christ, that He promised me that He would be right there with me. I go to the thing in the hallway that used to be there about footprints in the sand, and you sit there and you see that and you say, well, there's only one set of footprints. Yeah, there's only one set of footprints because God is carrying us through this. And I believe that if we could open our spiritual eyes today, we would see that even though all of this is going on, that there's so many that's getting sick, and there is Christians that's getting sick, just like there's non-Christians getting sick. But all of these things, we would see that God is still in control, and He's still carrying us through it. His presence is right there with us. I don't have to get lonely. I don't have to get to where I'm worried about being all by myself in this situation. I don't have to worry about going through all this and getting up in the morning and going to work and worrying myself to death about who I'm going to get close to, who I'm not going to get close to. I've got to just pray that God will put a shield of mercy and grace around me, that God would put angels encamping around about me, that He will keep me safe because He knows that I have to go to work, and He knows I've got to provide for my family. So therefore, I've got to trust Him, Brother Mike, that God is going to protect me and take care of me. And if He allows this virus to come into me, then He's already prepared a way for me to overcome it before it ever comes in. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God is our protector and He is our keeper, and He is going to be there. His presence is right there for us. What we used to consider as being stable is turned upside down right now. All the politics, all the sports, all them people that was making millions and millions of dollars. You know, we had a country western singer, don't even remember because I'm not a country western fan, come to Panama City, had the virus 2 days after he leaves Panama City. He's dead. They got all kinds of people that was in that Lori Morgan's chicken place that had a social gathering with him, our politicians and others, and they having to be checked for the virus because of it. So it goes to prove that it doesn't matter how much money you got. It doesn't matter how much fame you got. It doesn't matter how anything else. What matters is our relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you got a big name. It doesn't matter if you got big bank accounts. What matters is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we've got to realize that just like the Psalms 46 was saying, that Jesus is our refuge. He's our strong tower. We can run into it in a time of trouble, and God will protect us, and He will take care of us, and He'll allow the situation to go. Just like the children of Israel, whenever the death angel was coming by, those that had the blood applied to the doorpost, the death angel passed by. And I believe today that God is telling His church to wake up and be the church that God had called us to be, because the death angel, this virus is killing people. There's thousands and thousands of people worldwide that's died from this. And church, we've got to realize that God wants us to be the church, not inside this building. This building is nothing. What matters is I got to go out into that world, and I got to be the church in front of my coworkers. I got to be the church in front of the people that I go through the drive-thru to get something to eat. I got to be the church in front of the people at the gas station when I'm pumping gas. I've got to be the church that God's called us to be, because His presence is with me. And when Jesus is with us, we should be Christ-like. They was first called Christians in Antioch because they was Christ-like. I want to be a Christian. I don't want to be a soothsayer. I don't want to be somebody that people look at and think, well, he looks good, but he sure don't act like he talks. I want my talk and my walk to line up. I want everything to be there. So God promised us that he would be there in the time of trouble, that he is our refuge and our strength. That you know, it's so easy whenever we're up on the mountain and everything seems to be going good to trust God. It's so easy when we're going through everything and we can pray and God miraculously get a headache and we'll pray about it and God will miraculously move that headache or we hurt ourselves and we'll pray or we go and pray for somebody, Brother Roy, and we'll pray for them and they'll miraculously recover and everything seems to be so good. But then when you got somebody that's got a situation and you pray for them and you pray for them and you pray for them and it don't seem like they get over it, we tend to forget that God's still God. He's still God in the midst of the storm. He's still God in the storm. And he'll be still God when the storm's over. His presence is going to be with us before it was before the storm. It'll be with us during the storm and he'll be with us after the storm. Like I said, next Sunday's Easter Sunday, and it would be a great thing, and there's nothing saying. The Bible teaches us, and I've read the Bible front to back many times in my life, and the point is all we can say is that all the things are saying, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh, because Jesus could come back next week, and wouldn't it be great that instead of waking up next Sunday to put on Easter suits and to try to go to church and have an Easter egg hunt, because they've already called all that off, and one of the reporters I read on the internet said after Trump called off the lockdown for the next month, they said, well, Easter's going to be canceled for the first time. If you call Easter being canceled just because you don't get to come to church, just because you don't hear somebody preach a message, you don't go back there and eat you a chicken leg, and you don't go out and hunt Easter eggs, then you're missing the whole point of Easter anyway. Because I promise you, there's a lot of churches going to be empty, but the tomb's been empty for over 2,000 years. And Jesus is not going to be canceled. The resurrection is not going to be counted because it already happened, and God wants us to realize that there's another resurrection coming, and it's coming quickly. The world needs to turn around and look and to see that the resurrection of Jesus Christ happened a long time ago, but Jesus said, I'm coming back, and those that have made themselves ready, I'm going to call up to be with me in a moment, twinkling of an eye. And church, I want us to realize this morning that there's a resurrection coming, and it could be today, it could be tomorrow, but wouldn't it be glorious for next Sunday, instead of us getting dressed and coming to the church, the few of us that come and sit here and listen to a message about Jesus rising up, wouldn't it be great to just be able to wrap our arms around Jesus and hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. My goodness, church, there's so many people today that's going through so much. There's people that's having panic attacks because their 401ks have went down in the dirt. They're having a panic attack because the money is going so fast. There's so many people without work now because the business is shut down and they all depended on that check. So many people live payday to payday that they don't even know how to prepare for tomorrow. But see, God teaches us to store up for a rainy day, and I thank God that wisdom and understanding has come into my house, that God has prepared me, that even though I look and I see the situation, and you say, well, that's because you got money. No, I just say that I know that if I have to, I'll go out by the brook and God will send a raven with a loaf of bread. He did it for Elijah. He'll do it for me if I trust him and believe him. But so many people today don't want the loaf of bread from a... They don't want it. They don't want it. I believe that today God is telling us, I got it written down here, that it's easy to trust God when he does what we want, but it's in the times that he doesn't do what we want that God wants us to grow. When he does everything we want, I think that's what's wrong with the world today. Is every time a child says they want something, parents kill themselves to go out and get it. I know when I was growing up, my mom and dad, right at November, we'd go to Associates Finance. I know some of the older generation remember them, and borrow money to buy Christmas because they wanted us to get everything that all the other kids was getting. And then come next October or November, they'd go back and they still owed for last year, but they'd borrow more. And before long, it was such a mountain to climb. I'm like this: if you can't afford it, don't get it. Say, what's that got to do with it? God gives us understanding that during a time that we can go, then we ought to do. But when we can't, we ought to be growing and understanding and knowing what God wants us to do. During this time, God wants us to grow. He wants His people. He wants His people to push ourselves out of our comfort zones, out of the things that we want to do, and say, God, what can I do? What can I do to help my neighbor? What can I do to help my friend? What can I do to help my coworker? What can I do, Lord, to help my president? What can I do to help my governor? What can I do to help my sheriff? You say you can't do nothing for the president. You can't do nothing for the governor. They don't even know who you are. No, they don't know who I am, but I know a man that knows them by name and knows how many hairs in their head and knows the very thoughts that's in them, and he knows how to protect them and to keep them and to be able to lead them and to guide them. And God wants his people to grow up and be the church that God called them to be, to do the things that God wants us to do. And that's to lift the name of Jesus. So he's a refuge, but he's present with us. His grace, the Bible teaches us here, God's grace flows like a river to bring gladness and joy to his people. I'm going to read every thought that God gave me here. It said, God wants us to give us happiness, abundance, and peace, even when everything else is falling apart. No matter how bad things get, God's presence means he will help us through it. He'll help us through it. I've heard all my life from the older saints, and now I'm getting to be one of the older saints. But I've heard it all my life, and I'll say it the rest of my life. I don't know how a man or a woman can wake up and get in their car and go to work without knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. I don't know how a man or a woman can raise a child into society and the world that we're living in without knowing Jesus. I don't know how we can even face tomorrow without Jesus. I like what Sister Laura is saying. We need the Lord to hold our hand. God to hold our hand. He's going to go everywhere with us. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He'd go all the way even unto the end of the world with us. But God wants us to realize that he's right there. But the book of Revelation says he stands at the door and he knocks. I believe during this pandemic time that God's standing at a lot of doors and he's knocking and he's saying, child, if you'll let me come in, I'll give you peace, not this world's peace, but God's peace will he give to you. That even though we're in the midst of the trial, even though we're in the midst of the storm, God will still give us peace through this. I'm not going to be panicked. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to go through conniptions. I'm not going to go through all these things and worry myself to death about something I can't do anything about. But I pray, God, give wisdom to the scientists and the people working on a cure. God, give the scientists and the people that's working on an antidote and the prevention measures that, God, next year whenever they say this virus is never going to go away, that every wintertime it's going to be like the common flu now. There's going to be a strain of it. But you know what? The flu's around. But I took a flu shot back in October or November. I'm not worried about the flu. And the flu kills a lot of people every year. But the thing is, church, we've got to trust God. We got to trust God. He's going to be there for us. He's going to carry us through. But are we truly trusting God? Oh, I trust God. Oh, Lord, I just don't let me get close to Brother Roy. Do I really trust God? I know it's using common sense. The Bible teaches that we can pick up a serpent and no deadly thing will hurt us. But he also said, tempt not the Lord thy God. So we're not going to be foolish. But I'm saying God wants us to go and to be the church. To be the church. And number three, I don't even know how long I've been preaching. Number three is, I believe in Psalms 46 there, he taught us that God has the power. God has the power. How many agree God is all power? Now, how many of us will also agree that God said these things that I did, Jesus said these things that I did, and greater shall you be able to do because I'm going unto the Father, but I'm going to petition the Father, and the Father's going to send back the Holy Ghost to come and abide in you. So we have today the power of Jesus Christ working within us so that I don't have to do things on my own, but that power that's within me will rise up and be the man that I need to be through me if I'll allow him to rise up. Too many people build a dam. You know, the Bible says it's like a river flowing. But there's a lot of rivers that they build dams on. And a lot of people spiritually build a dam to where God can't allow the flowing of the Spirit to go through them. God wants us to realize that he's given us the power to overcome every situation. What does the Bible say? The Bible tells us that through the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimonies, we are made overcomers. Through the blood of Jesus, Sister Patricia, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, he washed me in the blood. And through me testifying that Jesus Christ is my Savior, God has given me the power and the anointing to overcome every situation, every circumstance. Does that mean I'm not going to go through the trial and the tribulation? No, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. But he didn't leave it there, Brother Mike. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but they shall overcome them all. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulations. But God's going to give us the power and the anointing to overcome them if we'll trust God through them. Does that mean we're going to not die with cancer? We're not going to die with the COVID-19 virus? Does it mean we're not going to die with a heart attack? No, God didn't promise none of that. But he did promise us that before my body, if I was to have a heart attack right now, before my body could drop from me standing here and hit this floor, that my spirit's going to raise up to be with Jesus. So I'm not worried. I've got the power. I've got the power over this flesh that if this flesh dies, I'm not going to die. This flesh is going to die. But the man that's within me is going to rise up to be with Jesus. So God, give us the power. And listen, I got here. We're not weak and frail like America is trying to put us. We're not a weak and frail nation. But we're mighty warriors of the kingdom of God. We're mighty warriors. We're mighty warriors. God told us that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in pulling down the stronghold. This coronavirus has got America strangled right now. But if the church will become the church and begin to pray and begin to worship God, you know what the selah is on that? I used to worry about that all the time, and I looked it up last night, and there's several different versions, but one of the people that I read about said that the selah meant worship and honoring God. So I might be in the midst of the storm, but I like to worship God. I was sitting in my bed last night and I was on YouTube and I was watching Baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't know. I guess it's just something that perks my interest. It's something I love. I love the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I love to hear teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I like to see messages. There was one there, I forget who the pastor was, but they was a Baptist preacher that came to a revival, and he came up to the front and he said, "I want to get what y'all've got so that I can take it back and give it to my church." Said, "I'm a Southern Baptist preacher and they don't believe in speaking in tongues, but God has convicted my heart and I want it." And the preacher laid hands on him and he hit the floor. The preacher laid hands on him when he got up and he hit the floor. The preacher laid hands on him the third time and he hit the floor. When he came up the next time, he said he started to say something, and the pastor reached over and put the microphone in front of him, and the man started speaking in a language he didn't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that today God has given us the power. He's given us the anointing. He's given the ability to overcome this virus and the things that's confronting this world. But God wants us to stand up and be the men and women of God that God has called us to be. He's not wanting us to surrender ourselves and to humble ourselves and be in a fear, but to be of confidence that God has got this. God has got this. Now I'll say again, because I'm recording this, I'm going to put this on our podcast. I do not fault anybody that's not at church. The churches is having virtual church. Thank God. I would do it too, but I'm not intelligent enough as to how to do it. So that's why we're meeting. I just don't know how to do it. I'm sure I could go to some people that I know and they'd teach me. But I like to look at your face, Brother Roy. I like to see that smile whenever the power of God gets to messing with you. I like to see the people whenever you see the Holy Ghost drop that nugget in their mind and you see a smile come upon them. You start seeing them glowing in the spirit and the anointing of God. But I realize that our church is small and we're able to have church because we're not that big. If we had 200 or 300 people, then we may have to do that. But God has provided for us to be here, and as long as God will allow us to do it, the government doesn't tell us that we can't do it, I plan on doing it. But listen, God promised to be a refuge. He promised to be present, and he promised to give us the power. So how many of us are willing to give God ourselves that we can be able to run into the refuge, that God can give us the presence of him? And we say, "God, I need the power. I need the power, God, that if I go out, that God, you'll protect me through this thing. And God, if I catch the virus tomorrow, God, you're going to take care of me through it. You're going to take care of me through it." Because see, a lot of people's locked down and they can't leave. They're supposed to stay at the house. Well, I got to get up in the morning, get my bucket truck and go to work. If I got to get up and get in my bucket truck to go to work in the morning, why can't I get in my car on Sunday and come to church? I put myself more at risk going to work in the morning than I am coming to meet with the few that's here. We do the social distancing, those that will. We got plenty of room for 6 foot. But the point is, are we going to allow God to give us his promise, his presence, and his power today? His promise is that he would be a refuge. His presence is that I'll go all the way, even into the end of the world with you. And his power is the Holy Ghost. And God wants us to receive the power. God wants us to receive the power. Say, "Brother Kevin, I don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost." You still got Jesus. You still got Jesus.